Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Hypeable.com's Onceable podcast, all about Once Upon a Time. This is episode 9, and tonight we are going to be discussing the episode 5 of Once Upon a Time, The Doctor, which was a very spooky episode for Halloween, so that's exciting. I am Jessica, and I am filling in for Jen this week because she is unfortunately in the horrible mess that is Hurricane Sandy. So yeah, she obviously can't be here because she's dealing with all kinds of craziness. But I am joined tonight with Karen. How are you doing tonight, Karen?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And we are excited to have Selena back with us.
Yay!
How are you?
Okay. I'm good. I'm so glad you're finally recording at a time I can actually make. So I'm
I know.
Just excited.
No, you haven't been able to record with us since the season has actually started. Yeah. So real quick, what do you think about the season so far?
Oh God, real quick. Okay. Got 2 hours. Oh no, I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I thought that it's been so great to see Emma and Snow in story in Fairytale Land bonding. That's probably been my favorite bit. I am a little bit in love with Mulan and Aurora. I think they're brilliant and really good. And there's a lot of Aurora hate, but I just want to stick up for her while I can. I really enjoy her character. Hook is amazing, but we can talk about him in the show. And no, I love it. There's so much going on that I love.
Yay! Well, we have all enjoyed it so far. I think I can say all of us have really, really enjoyed it. So you may have heard a deeper laugh in the midst of that earlier. And
we are joined by Laura.
Hello, everybody. My name is Captain James Hook. It's nice to join you.
He's joining us. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. No, we are joined tonight by the fabulous Zach Louie, who I know him through my absolute favorite podcast, Game of Owns, but does lots of show. It's fantastic. He does lots of stuff, really cool. He also does a podcast with Dylan Spartz called Addition, which is really fun that you can check out. But how are you, Zach?
I'm well. It's really nice because you're getting a twofer tonight. Both Selena and myself are together at last on another podcast.
I know. It's so great. Never
it's
happened
really
on Glee Chat.
Awesome. Because when you had me on Goo, Selena was sick, and so I was kind of filling in for her, so I didn't get to podcast with the two of you together. So this
so
is
the trio
fun.
Lives.
I yeah. know, yeah.
And yes. Karen.
Karen's there. Yay. That's exciting.
You're like, and then there's just me.
So you are a big Once Upon a Time fan, huh?
I am. I love the show.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's cool because got a little Big Love crossover. It's a good show. I love it a lot. And you guys were talking about Hook earlier. Can we just make a quick comment that I watched Hook when I was a kid, and he's not as cute as I remembered. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's way cuter than he was back in the day. That's all I have to say.
What? Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin
Hoffman's awesome. And, you know, Spielberg made the whole thing, and this isn't Spielberg this time. But, I mean, the eyeliner is stronger. It's more of eyeshadow now versus just eyeliner.
Well,
so it's good.
Right. You know, I personally really enjoyed the Jason Isaacs Hook. So.
Oh, wow. That's a reference out of the books.
I know. Is that your noise?
I do as well.
Oh, it's cars.
Is that a car going
yeah.
by?
Yeah, Hook is coming.
1 second. I'm going to shut this window.
Okay.
Like, we're taking off.
But yeah, no, I always thought that there would be no better Hook than Jason Isaacs. Well, Dustin Hoffman is better as well, but in a different way. Whoa. I think Zach is right now falling out his window into...
Zach, what are you doing?
All right, I just shut the window. Leave me alone.
That's called muting.
Okay. Well, there's going to be lots of opportunity to talk about Hook tonight. And we are just very excited to have you on the show, Zach. So thank you for coming on.
It's
okay.
A blast.
So this week, the episode was The Doctor, and just go through a quick summary. This was another Regina-centric episode, and we got to learn a little bit more about how she went from wanting to use magic for good to turning into the Regina that we all know now. In the flashbacks, we got to see her hesitant to crush a unicorn's heart when Rumpelstiltskin was kind of training her in her magic. So Rumpelstiltskin uses Jefferson and Dr. Frankenstein to con her, and they... Jefferson gives her hope that she might be able to bring her true love, Daniel, back from the dead. But then that hope is crushed when Dr. Frankenstein is unsuccessful. And in the final flashback sequence, Regina shows up dressed in all black and evil, and she crushes the heart of Rumpelstiltskin's new apprentice. And she is ready to be evil now. Then back in Storybrooke, Regina goes to see Archie to talk about how she's coping without using magic. But Dr. Will interrupts their session and asks her to send him back to his brother. Later, she is shocked when she sees Daniel, and she goes to the hospital and finds Dr. Will bloody on the floor with his arm ripped off. And he tells her that he has created a monster. Daniel goes to the stables, as this was the last place that he remembered before dying. And there he almost kills Henry before Charming and Regina come to the rescue. Regina is beside herself that her true love has returned, but realizes that he really is a monster, and she ends up having to kill him. We then see in the present-day fairy tale land where Emma, Snow, Mulan, and Aurora get back to the survivors' camp, only to find that Korra has killed everyone. Hook is there. They find him alive, and she's left him there to infiltrate their group. But Emma uses her superpower of telling when somebody's lying to her to figure out that he's totally making up his story, and finds out the truth. And he tells them that he will help them find a way back into Storybrooke rather than taking them into Korra's hands or helping out Korra. And then we see them walk on a journey, and they end up where they're going to go next, which is up a giant beanstalk. So that is a brief summary of what happened in the show this week. And so now we will get to start discussing everything. So one of the really cool things that we got to see was that Henry and David are continuing their bonding and Henry's training to be a knight. He took him to the stables this time instead of sword fighting, which was really cool. So what do you guys think about this budding relationship between Henry and his grandpa, Gramps?
Gramps, I know. It's sort of strange, isn't it? Like, I really, really enjoy it, but just him calling him Gramps, just so weird to
so
me.
Bizarre. yeah. What, anybody have thoughts about this relationship?
I thought it was really neat to see, because this is undoubtedly what would be happening if he was growing up actually right where he was meant to grow up. If let's say that she stayed and she didn't actually leave, you know, in a cupboard, in a wardrobe, in a cabinet under the stairs. Like, she stayed and she had Henry there. He would be getting trained by his grandfather, who would be a lot older, but probably still as good looking, and it would all work out.
Yeah, definitely. And I liked that he got to be around the horse, which I got to be around horses not too long ago. So I was like, oh,
it's like
I remember
me.
To brush the horse and do all that fun stuff. How fun.
Did the horse speak to you, Jessica?
What?
Did the horse speak to you?
Yeah, I had a great bonding relationship with my horse, who was named Luna.
Aw, that's nice.
You know,
she was silver. So I also like to call her my silver and pretend that I was Daenerys Targaryen. It was a good time.
Steal that horse for Halloween tomorrow night.
Wow. Okay, well, so beyond that, we got to see a really, I thought, hilarious confrontation between Dr. Will and Charming, where Dr. Will came to Charming and he turns around and just punches him in the face. It's like, that's for sleeping with
I love this moment. I also was very impressed with one of the coolest gun holsters I've ever seen. That crossbody he was wearing, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Zach, you're a guy. So if you and your wife had lost their memory and then you find out that she slept with someone when she was cursed and didn't remember you, would you want to go punch the dude in the face too?
Well, first off, I don't have a wife. Let's be clear on that, everybody.
Right. This is hypothetical.
did have one. Yeah, I think that what he did was, I think the character they're painting with him is that he's not a jerk. And that was a very non-jerk thing to do. That was like, all right, let me get this out of the way, and then we can start our conversation, which is what they did. So, I mean, it was mild, so it was just funny. Hell yeah, I did the same thing.
it seriously made me chuckle.
No, I really enjoy the new Charming. I really like his amalgamation of Charming and David. I think that it works really well, because it's like everything we didn't like about David, they've sort of said, well, he's still those things, but it's okay because he's Prince Charming and he's all kinds of awesome. So I loved it.
I completely agree.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can say that Whale didn't deserve that punch in the face. So, I mean, he had it coming. What I was kind of wondering, though, was when he was like, Catherine, and then Charming was like, no,
was funny.
No. The way that Whale said it, I was kind of making me wonder, did he sleep with Catherine? And was just like, wait, you have to care about that?
For science.
He may not be surprised.
yeah, that was actually kind of interesting that when Charming said wife, Whale instantly went to David's wife as opposed to Charming's wife,
mm-hmm.
even now that the curse is broken. But good point, Karen.
Look at me.
Hey, you never know what goes on in fairy tale world. So we get a lot of Regina backstory in this episode and get to see a lot of her with Rumpelstiltskin, and I really, really enjoyed this part, because one of the things that's always puzzled me and I wanted to know more about is how she transitioned from this woman who was essentially a really good person into somebody who, when we're first introduced to her, is so evil. Now, granted, over the course of the first season and the, you know, first five episodes of this season, we've seen a lot more depth added to her character and gotten to understand the complexities of her more. But that transition has just always intrigued me, and we finally got to see it. So what did you guys think about this? Did it kind of follow a logical course in your opinions, or, you know, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this was great storytelling, I think, because, you know, that question has always been there. How did she get to be so evil? And I think making, you know, her fiance part of the story, and the fact that he died and she couldn't save him, and that was why she changed like that, makes total sense to me. And this is actually the first episode where I've cared about Regina. I always liked Regina, and I liked watching her be evil, and, you know, even her relationship with Henry and all that. But this episode actually made me feel sorry for her and made me feel like this is a real person who honestly is trying to change the way that she lives her life for Henry's sake.
You know, I kind of agree with you in that I really, really felt a lot of sympathy for Regina in this episode when she was crying at the end, because I used to hate her. I always have a problem with characters that are evil in that I just think they're evil. Like, well, I guess there are a few exceptions, Hook, but you know, it's just she was evil, and people were like, "Oh my God, Regina, we love you," and it's like, that's weird because she's evil. But now I'm totally getting there. I definitely see what a great character she is. But one thing that I maybe had a slight problem with was the way that she sort of transformed. Like, I understand that the loss, I guess, the real loss of Daniel, of understanding that he wasn't going to come back, was going to break something in her, but it just seemed like such a flip of a switch, which I guess it kind of was, but I just didn't totally buy that she's like, okay, well, my fiance is really dead, I'm going to go get myself a new wardrobe and that's black and kill the people. I don't know, that just, it felt a little bit too out of nowhere for me.
It's a TV show. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you're right that they take creative lessons and they do random stuff like that. I felt exactly the same way. Everyone's like, "Oh, I love Regina so much." I'm like, "Well, I mean, she did do everything bad," and it still confuses me when I watch the show. Some, I mean, I realize it's a TV show, so there's a level that you can sort of let fly. But at the same time, I'm thinking the only people that are acting appropriately in this entire new storybook that we have are the dwarves. They're like, well, we're going to go dig.
I know.
You know what I mean? Everybody else is like, well, we're just going to go to the cafe and keep drinking coffee. And you've got Regina visiting, what's his name? Jesus, I forget his name.
Archie.
The psychiatrist.
Archie, yeah.
Archie Hopper. Right.
I know, but I refuse to call them by their real names. By their names. what's his name? Jiminy Cricket. There you go. Thank God.
You've got we'll get there.
You've got Regina visiting Geppetto, and God, I said it wrong again. You've got Regina visiting Cricket, and she's just laying her heart on the line, and he's just sitting there like, yeah, it's really sad. Well, how did you feel about it? And I'm thinking, well, she probably didn't feel too much considering she destroyed the world with Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. Right.
And he's just hanging out in his pawn shop.
Right. Yeah. It's like both, you know, Regina and Rumpelstiltskin are like sort of on this, I mean, I guess they're sort of laying low, both of them right now. They're kind of like taking a hiatus from evil. And it's just, it's a bit, obviously it's because they need to move other bits of the story along, but it does feel a bit, you know, they were so evil. And now it's like, well, you know, Rumpelstiltskin wants to be good for Belle, and Regina wants to be good for Henry, so they're just going to not be evil now. And I wish that had happened a bit more gradually.
Go ahead, Zach.
Snow and Charming put their baby inside of a magic wardrobe, and they agreed not to see her for almost 30 years just because Regina was being mean.
Yes.
Fast forward to season 2, Charming's rolling with the queen, just hanging out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's very true. And one thing that I've kind of struggled with is when the show first started, beginning of season 1, and we're introduced to Regina and Henry, and Henry is so like, my mom's the evil queen, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Emma in that first, I think it's the first episode, asks Regina, like, do you love him? And Regina says, of course, but Emma gives her that look where you're like, oh, her super sleuth, I can tell when you're lying to me, senses have perked up, and she believes that Regina's lying. So from the get-go, we're set up to believe that Regina doesn't really, truly, deeply love Henry. And then somewhere along the line, I'm not totally sure where it happened, we were expected to believe that, no, she does love him. He is her son, and she wants him to be her son. And so it's kind of confusing to me, that whole dynamic. And, you know, now they're playing on that even more with her, you know, wanting to change for him. And so sometimes I get pulled in by her tears and the sincerity that they're showing now. But then other times I take a step back and I'm like, but wait a second.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it is confusing. You know, I'm not really sure what to think with that.
It might come down to the fact that she didn't realize how much she loved Henry until Emma stepped in and started taking him away from her. And then she sort of, you know, realized, well, I'm really upset that this person might not be in my life anymore. And she could have, you know, sort of changed her ways at that point.
It's like trouble with an ex-boyfriend. It's like, oh, I did love him. Get away, girl. It's the same thing.
Now, I wanted to know, were you guys surprised by the twist that Rumpelstiltskin was behind the whole Jefferson, Dr. Frankenstein thing, that was a manipulative tool to get Regina to turn evil, or did you see that coming?
I was surprised.
Surprised.
Yeah, because I think that I wanted, because I really love Jefferson, and I was kind of disappointed because he was so cool this episode with his faces that I've been asked to bring up on Twitter.
He's awesome.
It was so cool, and I was like, oh yay, and they were like hugging outside of the tent, and I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. But then yeah, he's obviously a piece of work, which was kind of I felt ashamed on his behalf, for not to mention David Anders, who I just, you know, the doctor, who I can't help but love, because I was such a big Alias fangirl, and I see Sark every time he pops on my screen. And so yeah, I was disappointed in both of them.
if anything, it makes me see the scale of this whole thing, and to know that I think we're going to eventually be shown this as a positive, but really after this episode, it made it really clear to me that I think they're going in a direction with the writing as to say that Rumpelstiltskin, from the moment he started being pissed off that he was so powerful, he constructed and maniacally, diabolically premeditated this whole thing. Like, down to Regina turning bad, down to Regina turning Storybrooke into something else. Like, he's coming back, so, I mean, obviously so he can come to the real world and take care of the things that he wants and find his kid, but I think just because he's evil, too.
Yeah, he seriously is ridiculous evil mastermind. I mean, the strings that he's pulling to get back to his son are crazy as we learn more and more the intricacies of the web that he's spun. It's insane.
Yeah, and that's probably why, I mean, we don't have to get into this now, but that's probably why the whole, every time there's something with him and Belle, it's like, oh, well, that would be really nice, except there's so much other stuff going on right now. She kind of just feels like a distraction from Rumpelstiltskin's ploy, which I
agree.
Is more than just him trying to get Bay back, you know?
I'm just mad because, like, she's cheating on Charlie, and that really annoys me.
I know! How dare she? It's like, my baby! And now she's here, and
it's not Penny's boat!
42!
Yeah. Aw. Karen, are you caught up? Do you know what we're talking about, or are you still lost?
I
no
am,
pun intended. Yeah, I'm
lost.
It's just, I am amazed. She's LOL.
I'm like,
laughing real life.
I'm like halfway through season two, so I'm not getting any of this.
Oh,
but
no.
It's okay.
Oh.
Carry on.
No, we tend to always make Lost references on this show. We're like, Karen, are we spoiling you?
I know. It's
Where? I swear I will catch up one of these days and I'll be laughing with you guys.
It's okay.
It wasn't that funny, believe me. We're just weird.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was really great seeing Jefferson back. I think we've all discussed on the show ad nauseum how much we love Sebastian Stan in this role and how just fantastic he is. So it was fun getting to see him play a bigger role and get to see him back in the goofy Mad Hatter role as opposed to the crazed, like, sad person that we've seen
right.
since he was separated from his daughter. So we got another, a couple weeks ago, we got the reference about turning green and allusion to The Wizard of Oz. And then this episode, we got another little nod at The Wizard of Oz when Rumpelstiltskin asked Jefferson where the ruby slippers were. So they're definitely laying some crumbs that they're going to be visiting Oz or something to do with Oz. What did you guys think about that little slide in there? Anybody have thoughts to say on that?
They're making it so painfully obvious, aren't they? But I kind of like it.
And we'll get to this more in the end, but did anybody else think when Frankenstein went back to his world, oh, he's in Kansas?
Yeah, I know.
I loved that he went back to his world. I mean, I don't mean to go OT, but I just, when that happened, because at that point I wasn't sure who he was, and then I was like,
really?
Is
you
that
sure?
Igor? Yeah, I mean, I was eating a lot of potato chips, so I was a little distracted.
No, okay.
When it happened, I was just like, this is the best moment of all time. Science is greater than magic. No, it's not, but it's cool to think about.
I just loved anyway. That it was black and white. That just made me die. I was like, wow.
And the heart was still glowing in color.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So Zach was surprised by the reveal, but I mean, I know Karen and I weren't because we kind of discussed this last week's episode about how we all thought that he was going to be Frankenstein pretty much based on the previews.
Yeah. I mean, I clearly wasn't surprised because I put them all on Hypable. And so I was watching them all and it was like the first promo. It was like, okay, he's Frankenstein. There you go. That's it. It's done. Even from, I think, from the description they released like a month ago, and it said something about raising the dead and the doctor, and I was like, well, okay, they're not
doctor
really
who,
trying
who.
To. Doctor Who! That guy.
That's what I thought.
Now, I thought it was interesting that they did imply that his world has had magic and stuff, because, you know, the book, it's not like the book really of Frankenstein portrays magic. It is all about the science of
right.
what he's doing. I mean, of course, what he's doing is beyond our current level of scientific possibility, but
or so you think.
I said current, maybe.
You don't know, man. They could be doing that right now.
Are you doing experiments in your basement, Zach?
Listen, I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble. I'm just saying that technology exists to do stuff. Right, Selena? Exactly.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so I thought it was interesting that they were able to travel to that world with Jefferson's hat when you know, Frankenstein was implying that there isn't magic, that it's science. But then again, maybe they're just saying that science is magic, which let's go ahead and talk about that a bit. What do you guys think about the whatever message they were? Would you think that they were trying to send a message through the world being black and white and the science comment? What did you take from all of that?
A world without magic is a world without color.
I think they were trying to reference an old movie, probably, is what it comes down to.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Selena's, she's so just broad and vivid. Nice one.
Well, in our world, the scenes in Storybrooke would be without color.
Yeah.
Or would have been. And then that would have been funny if the purple smoke is what brought color back to Storybrooke.
Plus, it was probably just cheaper to light it, like, cheaper. They're like, well, we don't really have to worry about the color. We just flip it to the grayscale.
The glowing heart.
Yeah, I just thought that it was a bit like assuming, because I know that Frankenstein is a storybook, storybook, and I guess what they're saying is that because even though it's the quote-unquote real world, because it's a storybook, it's still another universe, but then it wouldn't really make sense that Kansas being in a storybook would be the real world Kansas. So I thought that was a bit weird, because I would have assumed that Frankenstein would be taking place in our world, Transylvania, yeah, wherever it was.
And that's kind of like the point that I was getting at. Do you think maybe the rules of these other realms is something? Have any of you read the Thursday Next series by Jasper Ford?
I have.
Do you think it's something like that, where it's any work of fiction has a world that is a reality in another realm, plane, or whatever, and then our world is the quote-unquote real world?
Yeah, see, that's what I thought, that's what I assumed, but then the whole, it kind of, and this might just be a convenient plot hole, but then, you know, the how Dorothy moves from Kansas to Oz, but Kansas is still within her story. So if they want to move to the real world and that's Kansas, that would kind of fall through. But I still think it could be right.
But perhaps it's like there is, because this, the Kansas in The Wizard of Oz is in a book, it's a different Kansas than the quote unquote real Kansas. And so there's like a Wizard of Oz Kansas that they could travel to through the hat or something.
Maybe.
I mean, that gets really complicated, but I don't know.
Oh, well, that's they're not in Kansas anymore anyway. So.
That's kind of the only way that I can make it make sense in my head.
Yeah.
But they could come up with some kind of logical rule or something that they reveal later that makes sense. But anyway. Okay, so let's talk about, more specifically, the return of Daniel and how that affected Regina. I mean, the scenes between Daniel and Regina were, I thought, pretty freaking powerful. I mean, Lana Parrilla's acting in this scene, I thought, was incredible. I mean, I could feel her pain. I could seriously feel her pain. What did you guys think about how all this played out?
I was really surprised that when she was fighting with David, or Charming, whatever, that that she didn't use any magic to get him out of the way. She actually stuck with her guns and just tried to convince him to let her speak to Daniel. And that was just really surprising to me, because I figured, you know, she was definitely going to just, like, blow him across the stables or whatever, but she didn't. And I was really kind of proud of her at that moment for not giving in to it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was so creepy. Super creepy. And I thought he was creepy when he was alive. Like, I was never a fan. So I just, him sort of with those eyes and the face, and I was like, this is the freakiest thing I've ever seen. God, if he came after me, I would just, like, scream and run away.
you would have broken your vow to not use magic instantly.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom.
Yes. Expelliarmus. Yeah. And then there you go.
That's about it done.
Oh, goodness. What did you guys think about when she did finally have to make that decision to kill him? You know, when she realized, you know, he really is not the same David that I know. I don't have my true love back. and she had to kill him. How do you think that action is going to affect her? Because, I mean, clearly she's been trying to get this person back for, I mean, how many years? Because, I mean, Snow was a little girl, so way more than 30 years. And then she finally gets him back, only it's not the way. And so now she had to kill him, so she doesn't even have his preserved body anymore. I mean, she has no chance. Right. Yeah, that was super creepy. But, I mean, this was a big deal. It's going to affect her. How do you think that's going to affect her? Do you think it's going to push her back towards evil? Or do you think she's going to be able to deal with this and finally move on?
I like the line that he said something like, what am I going to do? She was like, what am I going to do without you? And he's like, then if you loved me, love again. And I liked it because I thought in the show they sort of present these true love pairings and as these absolute, like, unbreakable vow contract things that is just impossible. Like, Snow and Charming, obviously, they're true love, so they can never, ever, 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 ever part. And it's just, it's all of that with every single relationship of the show, and it kind of, it's starting to annoy me a little bit. So I like the idea that if she had this true love, then now he's dead, but then she can have another true love, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that is one of those things where I like it to an extent, like with Charming and Snow, that they are so in love and always together. But like you said, in the real world, that's mm-hmm. I mean, that's not exactly feasible all
have
the time.
Have hope, girls. Have hope.
We're just skeptics.
What's going to happen? Is this just going to cause a big Glee-style breakup episode?
Oh, God.
Come on. That'd be awesome. Rihanna
and
Eminem
single plan. Couple by the end of the episode is going to be broken up and paired up with somebody else.
Yeah.
Singing. And, yeah.
Singing. Yeah, there
perfect.
You go.
Perfect.
Have hope. Another character that I think they could potentially explore this idea of being able to find a second true love is Aurora. Because, I mean, you know, right now she's still so angry about the loss of Philip, but perhaps somewhere down the line she can heal and move on. I mean, that could be somewhere else they could explore. But do you think that Regina will be able to love again?
Maybe they just meant Henry.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I think she will.
Yeah. It's significant that she... I think it's significant that she had to kill Daniel this time around, because the first time she had no choice. It was her mother. It was, you know, she wanted to be with him. She had no say in the matter. And, you know, obviously that scarred her. But this time she was actually giving him up because she knew it was the right thing to do. And where, you know, that switch was flipped before and she turned evil, I think the fact that she goes to Archie and she says, you know, I use magic, and she sort of confesses about it, that this is sort of the beginning of a whole new Regina. And I think that it's definitely in her future to have another significant other.
I personally hope that her character gets destroyed because she's terrible and bad. I mean, I think we're forgetting about the man candy that she exterminated in the first season.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah. I'm rewatching that the first season, and every time he comes on, I'm like, oh, my heart hurts.
Well, it would. It
she's
would.
Bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what we were talking about earlier. I mean, sexist sheriffs aside, she's just, you know, she's going through all this growth and all this development, and Lana Parrilla is saying in all these interviews, oh, you know, I want her to redeem herself, and I want her to be there for Henry and all of that. But then that's great, and they can say that all they want, but that doesn't change what happened in season one. That doesn't change what we know about Regina and what she's capable of. And in some sense, I think that she can never be good and happy and live in this little, like, I don't know, joint house with Henry. And like, it's not going to work. I think that maybe she is going to end up having to sacrifice herself, maybe for Henry, but I don't know. I think she could have a love interest squeezed in before then.
I'm probably going to get, like, hate mail for saying this, but I feel kind of about her the same way I did about Snape from Harry Potter, because I, like, you know, so many people are, like, in love with
Snape.
What's your address?
I need to send you some mail.
But you know, so many people are like, oh, he loved Lily. He was so, you know, he changed and he was working for good all the time. I'm like, yeah, but the only reason he changed was because Voldemort attacked Lily. If Voldemort hadn't done that, then he would have still been a Death Eater.
And he was, you know, like, he was still such a bitch to Harry. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about someone who was just a butt face, or someone that kills people and created a cataclysmic disaster to destroy a world, a universe, a reality. Like, the queen, the only way Regina's going to be able to redeem herself is in a moment of self-sacrifice. I believe that so many of these characters can get away with what they've done in the past because, oh, they're in a new world now, so maybe Rumpelstiltskin is less of a jerk because he's in this new world, you know? But she not only was terrible in the old world, but she has killed in the new world.
Right, exactly. And you know, I think it's interesting with, like, Rumpel, even though he's trying to change as well, people are still very wary of him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're cautious. They're giving him a bit of a chance, but their initial reaction is to distrust. With Regina, it seems like at first that was, but now they're like, oh, okay, you're changed, you're good. We're going to trust you implicitly from the get-go.
It's because she's really a attractive mother. Well, yeah, that too. But I think it's also because she's a mother. She has that Henry card to fall back on, you know, and Rumpel, funnily enough, he even did kind of the same thing with Belle in the last episode. David was like, why on earth would I help you? And he was like, oh, no, but I have this woman that I really love. And then David was like, oh, LOL, I'll help you now. But so it's kind of the same thing, except even more, because child trumps wife. So she loves Henry, hence everyone can sort of forgive her. And that's why they didn't kill her already. It's because Henry said, don't kill her. And they, you know, so I think that that's what she has going for her. But I could imagine a situation where, I mean, either she sacrifices herself for Henry or she feels that she has lost Henry completely and she will just go completely off the rails again. I mean, she's not a stable person in any sense of the word. And I don't think that, I mean, her getting this finality with Daniel is good, but I don't think ultimately it's going to stop her from potentially going bad again.
I think it's interesting that she keeps going back to Dr. Hopper, Jiminy Cricket. You know that
there's
she's
a
actually
ship for you.
Yeah, right.
They're perfect for each other.
That'd be an interesting relationship.
Oh my. But you know that she keeps seeking out his help because I mean that to me, like, that's not something that she needs to
evil
do
at Cricket. All. Oh my god. Sorry.
She'd be like, what are you making for dinner tonight, honey? I've been working all day. I'm a doctor. She'd be like, nothing.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well,
oh, gosh. Well, anyway, let's move on from all of that and go to the current fairy tale world and Emma and Snow, Mulan and Aurora. I was glad that we got to see Emma's superpower again because, you know, that was kind of a big point in the first season and we haven't heard about it in a while. And so I was really glad that it came into play again and that because I was like, ugh, I don't want to deal with them being taken in by Hook for all these episodes. And I'm glad they got that nipped in the bud. You know, what about you guys? Were you hoping for that to be a thing or were you glad that they kind of took care of it?
I was definitely glad they took care of it because that would have just been really annoying. But I really like Emma and her superpower. And I really want to know what the significance of it is, if it's actually magic or if she just has really good instincts or, you know, how she came to get it. And I also want to know if it has any relation to August, given that, you know, he's Pinocchio and the whole thing with him is that he lies and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So there's got to be some connection there, but I just can't figure out what it could be.
That's OTP. Such a good connection. Oh, yeah, there you go. I didn't even think about that. That's so
I
good.
Didn't either. That's great.
I'm not cool, guys. I learned that off Selena a few days ago. I don't know what that is. So
what is?
OTP.
I don't know what it is.
What's
really?
Your pairing?
Oh, no, I feel cool.
Are you guys not shippers or something?
No.
Jesus.
Don't lie, Jessica. Jessica ships a lot of things. Jessica ships Hook and Regina, don't you, Jessica?
You got me, Zach.
There you go. There you go.
You found me out. Damn.
Can we just make a comment about just how nice Mulan is to look at. I mean, she's a good lady. She's just great in this show.
She is. I agree.
She is. I mean, there's a lot of guy candy in the show. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. Girls enjoy watching the show. It's like Merlin, right?
It is a lot like Merlin, yes, in a lot of ways.
Sorry, I got a little deep there.
she's a strong character, and it's nice to see, you know, the female portrayed so strongly in this. But also when Emma got to step up, not only in this episode but in the last, it was cool to see, because it's not something that you always see. And I thought it was actually pretty hilarious when Hook was incapacitated and had to kind of admit who he was. And I saw Emma's face, and it was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, make the connection. Please make a Robin Williams joke. Like, you're the same Hook from the show that I watched.
Did anyone else... Sorry, this is really random, but did anyone else think that Hook, when he was pretending to be all scared and stuff, that he was like acted exactly like Barney sometimes in How I Met Your Mother when he's trying to like con people?
I don't watch that show.
Anyone? No.
Yeah, can you guys please stop making references to shows I don't watch?
Aww.
I'm not there yet, okay?
I don't watch that one either, Karen.
Okay, so good.
Okay, well, if you know, it would have been funny. People are laughing at home.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now, here's something. What do you guys think about what Hook ended up telling them about what Korra is trying to do and the role that he's going to play in helping them and him taking them to the Beanstalk? I mean, that's like a whole huge reveal of Korra's plan and what's happening. What did you guys think about all that?
Amazing. Just amazing.
All right.
Beanstalk, I was like, oh my God. Like, cause to me, that's one of the absolute coolest ideas of all time. Just if you're listening to the show and you don't really understand my excitement for it, go back on the episode and just look at the Beanstalk crawling into the clouds. That's pretty much the coolest thing ever.
It was visually stunning. It was absolutely incredible. I will give you that, Zach.
Also, Hurley is the giant.
So, I know. Spoiler alert!
Not the company, but a person that we all know and love. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that is really cool. I loved that. Do you guys believe Hook? Do you believe that he is going to help them now? Or do you think that he's still going to kind of try to double cross them? And, you know, he's definitely feeding them truths. He told them why he wants to get back to Storybrooke and about Korra having the ash and it still having magical properties and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, do you think this is one of those instances where he's hiding a lie within the truth?
I believe him. I think that he is working with the people who can give him the best chance to get to Storybrooke. And it kind of, I kind of realized it when Snow mentioned how she needs to get back to her husband and her grandson. And he was like, you have a grandson. And to me, that's sort of like he realizes nothing is going to stand in the way between Snow getting back to her family. And, you know, Korra, yes, she wants to get to Storybrooke and she's going to do everything in her power. But, you know, there's just something about a mother getting back to, you know, her child, her grandchild, that he knows that this group of people, they're going to help him get to Storybrooke.
I don't know. I hope it's a double cross. I think it's too easy right now. You know, like, I feel like sometimes once is really good at setting up false leads, and sometimes it's not, and I hope this is one of the cases where they're actually setting up something that isn't that straightforward.
I mean, Captain Hook is not a good guy.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that, Selena. I was glad that they realized that he wasn't, you know, being honest and that he was in cahoots with Korra. But I feel like there's going to be something else that happens, that he's not being completely honest with them, and that somewhere in there he's going to double cross them. So, Zach, what do you think? Do you think that he is to be believed, or do you think that he is still being sneaky?
I think that, like I said, I mean, Captain Hook's a bad guy. I think that it's cool to believe him now, and we want to believe him because his eyes are very kind and tender. But the fact of the matter is he was incapacitated and wanted to be out of it said incapacitation. So he told them what he wanted them to hear and what they wanted to hear. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty evident that he's leading them into some trouble. I mean, he probably knows that the giant is mean and stuff. and that they'll probably get smashed by giant feet. Yeah, right? It's like, it'll be misunderstood, you know what I mean?
It's really going to be hard for me to take Jorge Garcia seriously and the role of this mean giant after being with the lovable Hurley for so long.
Hey man, Hurley can get mean, okay? He gets upset sometimes. I think we discovered a secret that the beanstalk actually just leads to the island.
Ooh, there you go.
Where the island is. That's the whole thing at in the finale episode.
Oh, like, my God.
They basically cover it up with the water, and it just leads down to a beanstalk.
There you go. Zach, you found it. You figured it out.
That's why the man in black and Jacob guarded it. They were the giants. Jack just messed with them, and now it's about to get crazy.
I'm speechless. That's so amazing. Wow. Yeah. Even Widmore is in on it. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, so I can link it all together.
Okay, so last week we presented the poll question to you. Is Captain Hook a true villain? And 12% of you guys said that yes, he is evil through and through like Korra. 35% said that you weren't sure, you needed to see more of him. And 53% of you said no, he is just seeking revenge for his true love. He's not really evil. So I thought that was a pretty interesting result that so many people did not believe that he is evil through and through. What do you guys think about that result?
They're probably right, actually.
Yeah. I don't think he's evil through and through. I think he's probably one of those villains that are in it for themselves. Like, at this point, he doesn't care about these people. And that's probably why almost sure he's lying to them, because he has no more connection to them than he has to Korra. And he really is just operating on that selfish sort of, I need to get back to Storybrooke for my revenge. But I'm sure that, like, once he gets to know Emma and Snow and all those people, that he's going to get attached to them in some way.
Once he finds the six-fingered man.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yes.
There you go. I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for those of you who voted and participated in our poll. And you can find the next one under this post, which will again be about Captain Hook and whether or not we believe that he is telling the truth or he is going to double cross them in the future. So let's move on to some listener feedback. Selena, would you like to read the first one?
Okay. The first piece of listener feedback comes from Caroline J, who writes, I'm curious if Dr. Whale's brand of science is somehow going to be in conflict with magic. If Rumple and Regina sort of represent magic, Emma perhaps non-magic, and Dr. Whale's science, are those categories going to be in direct conflict with one another, or is the point just going to be that science is not so different from magic? I'm not sure if Emma represents non-magic. I was under the impression that she had magic. She activated Regina's magic, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, but I guess...
So you're wrong, Carolyn. Sorry. If you're
just... No!
Well, but in Emma's head, you know, she was raised in a world without magic, and her go-to is to use, you know, force and logic and sleuthing, as we saw so hilariously with the ogre.
Right.
And one thing I think we forgot to mention is at the end when Rumple made Dr. Whale admit that he needed magic over science to get his arm reattached. And, I mean, there's definitely going to be some conflict between those two properties. And
you know, maybe Caroline has the right idea here, actually, because you know how for Rumpelstiltskin, I mean, he's laying low right now Regina is, but I don't think that this is the end of him as a villain, because he's really manipulating everybody. And I think that Rumpelstiltskin, as we learned in the last episode, his power comes directly from magic. Like, he is literally nothing without his magic. So maybe that is what they're going to need to ultimately defeat him. Maybe it's going to be some kind of massive moral kind of, oh, la la, we have something more powerful than your magic. We have science. And then, you know, they come at him with beakers and what have you, little explosions that they made in their labs.
Which I imagine is why he was so adamant about wanting Dr. Whale to admit that that magic was better because it probably frightens him that there could be something beyond magic that is stronger.
Right. By the way, power. Can I just say something really, really, really random? Is that I was watching the episode. I did not notice that Whale was missing an arm. Like, I did not, all through the episode, when he was on the floor, when he was in the hospital bed, maybe I was just too busy staring at his face, but, and it wasn't until, and even he walked into the shop and he was holding that thing, and I was like, what is it? And he opened and it was a hand inside. I was like, Whale is working with Rumpel to get him hands? And I was so confused. I totally missed that. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, I did too. I think it's just they didn't really show, you know, a close-up of it or anything. Like, you saw the arm on the table, but I didn't necessarily jump to the conclusion that it was Whale's arm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Caroline, for that comment. It definitely brought up some good points. So, Karen, would you like to read the next comment that we got?
Sure. This one says, if Snow had gone with Emma through the magic tree that brought Emma to our world, if Snow hadn't had birth yet, or if Pinocchio / August hadn't gone, how would Emma have been raised? Would Snow have kept her memories? Would Snow seek out David, and what would it take for him to believe her? If David refused to believe Snow, would she give up on him and wait? Would she try to get Emma to fight to break the curse earlier? If David did believe, would they try to convince the rest of Storybrooke of the truth or keep to themselves until they could break the curse? Lots of questions in this one. I think if Snow had kept the baby, things would be really different because then they wouldn't necessarily have anybody to break the curse, would they? I mean, she was supposed to be the savior.
I mean, if she had gone with Emma through the magic tree, then they would have her, but like they would be out of Storybrooke, so they would be free from the curse, but then Emma couldn't break it until she was 28, so Snow would be 28 years older than Charming.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, if Emma had stayed in the fairy tale land and then they got transferred over via the curse, would Emma have been the savior still?
I don't know. I mean, that's not what they're asking here, I don't think. But I think that, I mean, then no, I don't think there would be a way to break the curse. Because Emma was supposed, but I don't think that would have ever happened. You know, like, it's the whole thing with prophecies, you know, can you make sure that they don't, like, that there's no way of making them come true? Because Emma was prophesized or whatever to be the person who in her 28th year would break the curse. So if she'd stayed in Storybrooke, she would always be a baby because she would be stuck in that time loop or time thing with the rest of them. So she would never be able to break the curse. But I think this question is if Snow and, you know, the original plan was for Snow and Emma to go through the portal rather than Emma and Pinocchio. So Snow would raise Emma probably to be the savior, I would think.
It's a very interesting question because I feel like a big part of how Emma broke the curse was that she had to slowly come from disbelief to belief. And if Snow had raised her, would she have kept it a secret from her or would she have raised her to believe? And, you know, like it would have made it completely different. And I don't know how it would have worked out. It's a very interesting thought.
This is one of the alternate realities I really want to see. Like, I really want to see an alternate reality.
This is the flash sideways
right,
you want.
Right. I really want an alternate reality where we see Emma raised in Storybrooke, how it would have been if there'd never been a curse. But this would also be really interesting to see just a few sort of what-ifs.
Zach, would you like to read the final comment that we have?
Sure. This is from Rebecca. First, the issue of Peter Pan.
Oh, don't be mean.
I was wondering how a boy would separately end up in Neverland and wondered if that could be Balefire. I'm pretty sure magic beans don't create new worlds. They just open their doors. I know Bay wanted to go to a land without magic, but we don't know that he actually got there. Or what if he landed in Neverland before it was Neverland and the magic came later? It would explain Peter's hatred of Captain Hook. He stole his mother. I know it's far-fetched, but it would really be interesting to see. That's true.
Yeah, I think that is a really popular theory, actually, that Bay went to become Peter Pan and then he went to the real world because there's such a big time leap. I mean, like 300 years or something like that. Like, that's how old Rumpelstiltskin supposedly is. So Bay would have to be somewhere if he's still going to be alive.
And it I thought it was interesting, too, that magic beans were used to send Bay to our world, supposedly, but then later were used to send Hook and his ship to Neverland. Mm. So it's like, what, do you have to get a specific bean for a specific world? Like, or...
like birdie bots.
Or is it like you think about where it is that you want to, you think about your destination and throw it with determination and deliberation? Like,
maybe it's totally
blue
random.
Powder.
Definitely. I'm not supposed to be here. Don't touch the bell. I think that's brilliant, Rebecca. That's a really neat theory. I like that.
I agree. So, as always, we love getting your feedback. I mean, you guys give us some great questions and comments. So please continue to give us your feedback. You can give it on in the comments on the Hypable post at hypable.com, H-Y-P-A-B-L-E. You can also tweet us at Once Upon News. Selena is fantastic about tweeting all the Once Upon a Time news that she covers for Hypable.
Yeah.
And it's great.
All the other little
random commentary that she feels that she needs to share, but it's all fantastic. So be sure to follow us on Twitter and tweet us your comments or questions. And also you can subscribe to us on iTunes and you can rate us and review us there. And we love to get your feedback. So thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you, Zach, for joining us this week. It was a pleasure to have you on and I hope that you will join us again in the future.
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right, well, that does it for this episode. I'm Jessica.
I'm Karen.
I'm Selena.
I'm Zach.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.